You know, I like Christmas time. I didn't always like it. It was usually pressure of one kind or another to buy gifts for people with money I didn't have or couldn't afford. But as I have gotten a little older, I you can be polite and say more mature for those of you who are trying to join me, as we have gotten a little more mature, Christ takes on a little bit of different meaning. And Christmas is God showing us his love. Christmas is God showing us his love. And I take that from a passage in Titus. Titus 3, 3 through 7, a little book that Paul wrote, where in Titus 3, it tells us, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, the Lord Jesus Christ, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Think of what we were before we were saved, especially if we were older. We lived for self, and most of us had no real knowledge of who Jesus was or what he had done for all of the world. People told us that God loved us, but it meant nothing. It meant nothing. We each had our own plans about what we were going to do with our lives, and our plans didn't include God. If people ask us what we wanted to do when we grew up, we could tell them in detail and which college we were going to go to so that we could be prepared, or where attending or the college we might have been attending at the time. God knew what was going to happen after we had been saved, but we didn't have a clue. Christmas was a time when we got off from school, or we got a day or two off from work, and we looked forward to doing something that we wanted to do with our friends. God was not a part of what we'd planned. Christmas was just a holiday, a time to have fun. But there was a day when someone told us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we'd sung the Christmas carols and the Christmas songs, as we called them. And we knew the words, but they had no effect upon our spiritual life. In fact, we really didn't have a spiritual life. After someone talked with us about the Lord Jesus Christ, life changed, Christmas changed. We were aware that there was more to Christmas than just having fun and buying and giving Christmas presents. There was something missing within us. We could sense it, but we couldn't quite put our finger upon the part that was missing. For some of the people that we knew or observed, Christmas had a special meaning that made those people care about the people around them. They seemed to be different from the average person. Christmas was not a burden, but a blessing to them. They were actually very joyful people. Can you remember what Christmas meant to you before you were saved? Now, some of you may have been saved as children. You did not experience many of the adult things that some of us experience. I'm glad for that. Some of us were older when we got saved. The changes would not be significant if you were young when you were saved, because you wouldn't have gone through the things the older folks went. And when I'm talking about older, I'm not talking about 30 or 40, no, 40 or 50, no. I'm talking about people in their teens and their 20s and maybe their 30s. They would see a drastic change in the meaning of Christmas after they were saved. I don't remember the first Christmas after I was saved. Life was changing all around me, and I didn't know where I was going to wind up. And my father had thrown me out when I got saved because I had disgraced the family, according to him. So I did not spend that first Christmas with my family. Today, some 62 years later, Christmas is a whole new adventure to me. And I hope it is special for you too, each one of you. Christmas is a time when God shows us his love for his family. If you're saved and you're a part of God's family, as we sang this morning, being part of God's family makes Christmas very special. Christmas has become a time when God reaches down from the holy halls of heaven and proves his love to us with a special day of love for his children. As we look at God's word, we see the story of how God loved us throughout the Old and New Testament. But I think that since Jesus came, the New Testament has a more understandable way of God telling his story of love. This morning, I would like us to enjoy thinking and reading about God's love story, as it involves us. So let's look at some of the scriptures that deal with God's love for us and our love for God. Because we do love him. Because he first loved us. We'll be jumping around in scripture, but it'll be worth it. We'll start with Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. And some of the complaints I've had is I go too quick with scripture, and so I'm going to give you a chance to find it. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 tells us that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that is my prayer for each one of you this morning, is that on Christmas Day, you will be filled with the fullness of God. Now, I misread this passage the first time I read it. I'd like to share with you, I know you do not add to Scripture, you do not take away from Scripture. We are warned very clearly in the book of Revelation and a few other places. But I'd like to share with you how I misread this verse as I first looked at it. I read the verse, now you look at Ephesians 3:17, and I read it, that Christmas may dwell in your hearts. Isn't that a concept that's Freudian? as a believer, I want Christmas to dwell in my heart, where it may lead me to do things for others, others who may not know Jesus. After I got to thinking about how I had misread the passage, I found some truth in what I had read. Christmas is God's way of celebrating the coming of the Savior. Not only is he the Savior, but he's also the Messiah. And he'll be coming back again in the future. When he comes back, he will be his king. And you and I are related to him. Oh, that we might manifest the love of Christ to the lost world around us. That's why we're here this morning. I know many people respond to love because they are lonely and hungry for attention. We can give them both during this season. How much love can your heart manage? If you've got an endless supply, you do. You may not think so, but you do. I know that a lot of the people that we see and where they are because they made bad decisions or they want to be where they are, but we can still show them the love of God. And what a great time of year to do that. As we draw near to Christmas, I'm actually getting more and more excited. We all should be excited about the fact that God loves us. Because once you trust Jesus, you can never be outside the relationship of love of God. Paul told us about it in the Epistle to the Romans. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Romans chapter 8, 37 through 39. And Paul wrote us and told us, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." That's what Christmas is really all about. Just think about it. Jesus gave his life for your sins so that you could be part of the family of God. That is why Jesus Christ gave his life for your sin, so that you could be part of the family of God. Every time we sing that song, I feel so good about my spiritual family. I do. I love you folks. And not because you give me Christmas presents, okay? I love you folks because you're who you are. God's word tells us there's nothing that we can do to get away from the love that God has for us and what Jesus did for us on Calvary. I'm working on a message right now in my office, but my heart is singing within me. I hope yours is too. I pray that your heart is singing within your body as Christmas approaches. We opened with a passage from Titus 3, but let me read it again. It's a very special passage. Titus 3, 3 through 7. "For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving other lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. That would be the Lord Jesus Christ, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you're saved this morning, if you are here and Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, then you have the Holy Spirit living in your soul. The Bible says heart, and that means the very place you live. And I like to use the word soul because that's where it is. And if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, the Holy Spirit is living in your soul. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Bobby talked about hope this morning from Romans chapter 6, at the very end of that, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, I'm sorry. Not one word of this passage depends upon any of us. You cannot change what that passage in Titus says. You may be what it says you are, but you cannot change it. God changes it all. That's the wonderful thing about salvation. We cannot do one thing to get saved. God does it all. How can we be unhappy under these wonderful circumstances? Do you know that what God has done for you personally? 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I sure hope that you love him this morning and know that he loves you. You may be having a decent life, but even if you are, you haven't seen anything yet. It's what God has waiting for you. Oh, we sometimes get bogged down with things that are going on in our own lives, and that distracts us from meditating about what God has told us that he's going to do for us. And I believe that the devil likes to distract us with problems so that we can't rejoice in the Lord. You remember what God has told us in his word? Very important verse. A verse that can make all the difference in your life as you know it. Nehemiah, if you will remember, came back with part of the captivity. He and Ezra were trying to rebuild Jerusalem. They were trying to rebuild the temple, the wall. And they got discouraged. They came back with the captives from Babylon. And he was encouraging the people, trying to get them to do the work that he knew God wanted them to do. And so he was using the people who had come back with him, and they were discouraged. He told them in Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And folks, if you can rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can rejoice in God, that will give you the strength you need to come through the situation. Now that was 500 years early, before the Lord came, but he was telling them to have a Merry Christmas before Christmas, 500 years before there was a Christmas. We need to do the same. People, God has given you a means of strength. Why not use it? Why not use the joy of the Lord for your strength? At this time of year, be joyful, and people will provide all the strength you will ever need. No matter what's going on in your life, if it does not involve sin on your part, let your heart be joyful, and God will give you the strength to be victorious over your situation. God will take care of it for you. Now, I know that there are times when we do sin against God. We all do. And usually we have problems after that as a consequence of our sin. But even that will be resolved if you will stop sinning and let God be in control. This next verse should be able to make you happy. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given you the sound mind. You're not as cookie as you might think, or somebody might accuse you of being, okay? When God gives you the Lord Jesus Christ in your soul, he gives you a mind that is sound. Now, I'd like to share another passage of Scripture with you, and I would like for you to look at it again when you're alone and think about what it tells you. This Scripture has been a blessing to me every time I think about the passage. It's totally true. And Bobby shared it with us last week and this week. As a Christian, it was the first scripture that I memorized. It is Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh experience, or worketh patience, and patience experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now you think about that. There's one other passage of Scripture I've had you memorize. Many, many years. But I had you memorize the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. 22 and 23. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what God gives you. That's why you should feel lots of joy. Scripture is so important. You and I, many times, are in a mess. If you are in a mess, think on this passage, Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. And go into prayer and tell God, about what the situation is, and that you are turning the situation over to him, let him have it. He'll take care of it. You don't have to. Maybe we've made mistakes, or sins, if you will. Sometimes it's not the first time that you've needed bailing out or I've needed bailing out. But think about it. The last time that you were in this kind of a situation, did God come through for you? He did, because you're here this morning. God has provided everything that you and I have need of. And I believe if you will think about things, you will see that God is in control. He has always proven faithful to you. He has not abandoned you. He is there when you call on him. And when you think about him bailing you out, you cannot help but love him. God just keeps pumping the love into our lives. In spite of who we are and what we are, there's so many scriptures that tell us that. Many times we don't apply the word to ourselves. We think that we're too sinful or not worthy. And both situations are true. We are sinful and we are not worthy. But in spite of that, God loves every one of you. No matter who you are, God loves you. If you've prayed the sinner's prayer asking Jesus to forgive your sins and you believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, then Scripture tells us that eternity is settled for you. You're going to spend it with God in his presence. You're just passing through this life. You get to another life that is so glorious it cannot be expressed. One more passage of Scripture, 1 John 3:1-3. And in that passage we are told, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man and woman that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Be assured, your life is hid with Christ, and your eternity is sure. Because God is omniscient. He knew that you were going to have problems and he had all the answers already for you. Remember that your strength is in the joy of the Lord. Be happy. God. Father, this is a very special time of year for us humans down here. And we would ask that you would help us to see things in the light of eternity. Help us, Father, to share the gospel with those who are lost, those who do not know you. And Father, if those are people are pretending, help them to find the truth. Father, may it be you. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for saving us, for making it possible that we be saved. your will be done in every heart. And we will praise you, Father, for all the things that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name.